Well, we needed a hero in the worst way last night. He's not a jukebox hero. He is a $1 million a year hero for the San Diego Padres. Thank you, Jerickson Profar.
He's a batter's box hero.
He is a batter's box hero. He is a Washington Nationals target. Give me one real quick. Hang on.
Yeah!
That's what I needed. I told Paulie this morning I'm in desperate need of primal scream therapy. Summer is off to a rough start in the Woods household. It's just hard. Lots to juggle.
Want to go to those rage rooms?
Oh, more than anything.
Oh, God.
I've done that.
You have.
It's fun.
It was made for me, man. It was made for... I just saw stars, by the way. I'd scream so loud. I'm seeing stars right now. Great to be here with you guys. Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. Nothing like completely turning your vocal cords into hamburger meat at 6.02. You know, on the heels or at the very beginning of a four-hour set. And that's what I just did.
Well, you can't cheer when the actual, you know, winning run happens because everyone in your house is asleep.
Yeah, for hours. For hours they were asleep. And I was, it was one of those where I hopped out of bed and went, it was incredible. An incredible, incredible win. Oh, you sons of, you guys make me insane, man. You're going to kill this entire city. But hopefully you guys stayed up for it last night. If not, you know what? I really don't blame you. I damn near turned it off after the home run, too, and went to bed. But I just wanted to see what these San Diego Padres would do. And, boy, did they deliver. I'm just – I'm in awe of that win last night. And we'll talk about it. We'll talk about all the good, the bad, the ugly – all the stuff that happened pregame and all that, but holy smokes. Let me introduce the show. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
We have not gotten into yet, and I let you off the hook yesterday. Your world's colliding with Taylor Swift, who you love, and Dave Grohl, who you love as well, and their factions of fans warring. In social media yesterday, it was insane. I spent...
I'll make it real quick. I think it's all stupid.
Okay, fine.
I think it's
okay.
All really stupid.
Okay.
Both sides. Fans.
All right. Because
I don't understand it. I don't know why it's happening.
I don't either.
Get it?
And I thought to myself when it happened, I went, "Oh, this is like, this is like a Greek tragedy, right? It's like, man, I love her, but I love him, and this is very, very difficult." Ben had looking at me, like he has no idea what I'm talking about.
No, didn't Dave Grohl say something about Taylor Swift not performing everything live?
Yeah, using backing tracks,
backing tracks, and not 100% live during her 4-hour concerts.
Yes. Which, Dave, by the way, not that uncommon for a pop artist. It's just not. I don't know why you would get upset by that.
Now, on Dave's side, we do a 4-hour concert every morning, and we're pretty much entirely live.
I would love to play
4 hours.
A backing track for as much as we could. Just us in the background talking. If you need a breather, you've got one. Take a breath, whatever. But I let Paulie off the hook yesterday. I was driving home. I went, damn it! How did I forget to ask him about this? Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor and pop culture guru. Yesterday learned about Hawk Tua, and that was a lot of fun on the program. It's good to have you.
Good morning. Or is that my backing track saying good morning?
That's your backing track. I loved it. I loved it. I loved every second of that victory last night.
Not every second.
Every second of the victory.
Well, yeah.
When it was over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a period from 3-0 to down.
Took my soul.
3-6 that wasn't exactly the most enjoyable part of the season.
It's like we've said now several times over the last, 10 days, walk-offs feel pretty damn good in the moment. When they happen, but walk-offs generally aren't usually a great thing.
It means you're down, man. It means you're down.
There's the rare exception, like, hey, we just didn't have it tonight. We fought and clawed back, but more often than not, it's like, oh, we blew it. We blew it. We came back and we ended up holding it off.
Oh, God, man. I had a little bit of faith, a little bit, last night, but I
had faith they'd score one.
I had faith that they'd score the runner on second. I did too. We'll break down the game and all that, but man, I don't know how much more of this I can take. And like I said this maybe last week, Benny. I said, boy, this team sure burns a lot of fuel, man, to keep around 500. They really do. I mean, they are burning a tremendous amount of fuel to keep a game over 500. And I think there's credit that needs to be given for that. I think there is. This team could have fallen off the cliff many, many times. They still may. It's stupid baseball. We all understand that. But Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord, that win last night. You know what? I was laying in bed thinking about it last night because I was wired. I was absolutely wired. I didn't get sleep till midnight. I mean, I just could not sleep. I was so fired up, and Twitter went nuts after with all the Nationals getting their, you know, panties in a bunch about it, and Jesse Winker almost going into the stands after a 66-year-old man. And there's a lot to break down about this game last night. But I was thinking to myself last night, remember how there were just a real lack of moments with this team, really, like a real severe lack of moments. You look back to last year, it was such a disappointing season. The only moments you got, really, you got Fernando Tatis Jr. stealing home. I mean, that's really the only one that jumps out at me. And then, of course, when they're well out of it, you know, they fought back a little bit at the end of the season when Profar came back, and they won some games, won quite a few games, but it was just too little too late. There's already been a dozen. There's been a dozen moments in 80 games, Ben, that have just been spectacular and exciting and incredible.
Much more like 2022.
Much more like 2022.
It was filled with the LFGSD.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jorge Alfaro's walk-off home runs. There were special moments that ended up in a special season. Now, I don't know that this team is heading on that same trajectory or to the same end point, but I do know it's probably going to take more of this for the Padres to continue, you know, battling their way into a playoff spot. Because with the injuries that they have, and we'll talk about the injuries, they're going to need different guys to continue to step up. They're going to need better, more consistent starting pitching. They're going to need their bullpen to come through because they simply have lacked the star players staying healthy, staying on the field, and producing that the way they need to produce. And now with Fernando Tatis Jr., likely out, and you may have heard what Mike Schilt said yesterday, but he is out almost certainly through the All-Star break.
Oh, yeah.
and probably even a little bit beyond that, I would guess. They're going to need more guys to step up. Not just Jurickson, not just Arraez. They need everybody. Like Kyle Higashioka had a big hit yesterday. Doesn't have to be the same guy every day, but they're going to need hero du jour stepping up for the San Diego Padres for the next, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. Again, like they have pretty much to get to this point in this season, it's been different guys, and it's going to have to continue to be different guys.
Well, I'll tell you, man, those guys believe, whether we believe, whether the fan base believes, there is zero lack of belief in each other in that clubhouse. And I haven't seen a clubhouse like this in a while. Now, again, as we know, things can change. Things can turn. You know, they can turn for the worse. They can continue, you know, on this path, Ben. You just never know. Based on the comments to the media lately from Jackson Merrill, from Manny Machado, from all these guys, they truly, truly believe in one another. And you can see it. You can see it. I know Manny gets a lot of grief. That dude, I was watching him pretty intently when I was field level on Saturday night. Bro, when Jackson Merrill hit the bomb, first cat out of the dugout. When Kyle Higashioka hit the bomb, first cat out of the dugout. Those dudes are stoked to come to work and play together every day. I don't know what that translates to when, you know, win or loss. Talent's going to win out in baseball. It usually does. But, man, they are sure as hell fun to watch. And they sure as hell believe in each other. And I think there's something to be said for that.
Well, I think the Padres do have the talent to win out as well. In addition, you know, camaraderie and belief. But health also wins out in baseball over a 162-game season.
Health and talent.
And the Padres do not have health. That's one thing that they haven't had all season long. And it's only continued to get worse. Sliding from Manny's, you know, concern about Manny to start the season has now crept down into pretty much every high-paid player on the roster. The highest-paid players, Manny, Bogarts, Tatis, Musgrove, Darvish. You find a team out there that, okay, your five highest-paid players are all hurt. Go ahead and try to make the playoffs.
Go win.
It's not easy to do, and give the Padres credit. Give Mike Schilt credit. Give the players credit for hanging in there. You know, through some of these setbacks that they've endured in 2024.
Yeah,
that's what good teams do.
Thank you, Shilty. I do give them a lot of credit. I absolutely do. And I'll tell you, and I know we're all hot. I mean, we are on like we are in the post-coitus glow right now. I mean, that's how you feel. You feel like you're in the afterglow after a win like last night. I'm ready to run down to Petco Park and start fighting Nationals. Like, that's how fired up I am this morning. Jesse Winker, more like Jesse Stinker. More like Jesse Wanker. How about that one for your morning coffee? I don't know, man. Like, got him. 100%. Got your ass, Jesse. I'm ready to fight these guys. Like, they got me. I'm back. I'm like fired up again to watch the San Diego Padres after a win like that. And I understand what the afterglow feels like. It may not come again for a while. We know that. So I want to just take today at least to have some fun with it. Yeah, we're going to have to talk about the weird communication about injuries, some of the weird comments that came out yesterday. The fact that, you know, they're not really on the same page injury-wise, message from the player and the front office. It's a weird thing. It happens here. I think it happens in all, you know, with all baseball teams, certainly. But, man, it's there's a lot to talk about today. A lot. Jerkson Profar, though, you know, gets our hero of the morning. He was fantastic last night. What an AB. What a way to deliver. He also cost me $100.
Oh, is that a don't do this moment?
We may
have to save that.
I did not know that this was possible. And I thought I had cashed $100 on our San Diego Padres to win by 1.5. Jerkson Profar didn't do something that would have netted me 100. I don't care. I would have paid $100 for that win last night. In fact, I paid $69 for it. I rarely pull out the, hey, $69 to one of my Twitter followers if we win this game, because we're down 3. And sure enough, they came back and won, and I sent $69 to a tier one last night named Grace. So enjoy your $69 on the house. I would have paid that for a dub. 100%. What a great win. We're taking your calls as well. Again, if you woke up and you went to bed last night after the Nick Senzel home run, wake up this morning to see that your Padres fought and scratched and clawed their way back to a victory. Jonathan in the chat said, I was ready to go after we gave up the homer. My daughter was like, Dad, let's stay. And we would have missed it. And he stayed and watched the victory. We'll talk about our pal Steve Sugimoto. And he is our NIL-sponsored athlete from SDSU. He's a professional golfer in Japan. He happens to be home in San Diego. I'm trying to get him in the studio.
He's also a psychic, apparently.
He's also a psychic. Yeah, we've got that video for you as well. Holy smokes, man. Let's get this thing going and have some fun today.
We'll set the menu next. We also have a really special guest. I don't want to say more special than Jesse Agler, who's very special every week. No offense, Jesse, but one that we don't usually have on Tuesdays. We'll tell you who's coming on the program a little bit later as well. We'll get to all of that coming up in our next segment, but it's a very afterglow Tuesday morning here after the Padres walk off with a 4-run 10th to beat the Washington Nationals 7-6. We'll come back after a check of traffic and get right to it on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, it was Will Smith with the, Mr. Irrelevant, he's not even relevant comments. Now it's the Washington Nationals, their manager Davey Martinez, intentionally walking Luis Arraez to get to Jerkson Profar. He comes out on top again with the walk-off last night. It's going to be the theme of the program today, and we're going to set the menu for you of our show coming up here in just a second. But, Woods, we have a special guest in studio from just down the hall, and I don't want to take up too much of his time because he's got his own show to be running this morning. But John Flint is here from the John and Tammy Morning Show over on KSON, and they do something really special that I wanted to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know about, because anyone who wants to pitch in here would be very much appreciated. Johnny, good morning.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate the time. We are doing all week something a little different on our show, and if you don't listen to our show, clearly you don't, because you're tier ones, you listen to this show. But I don't care. I just don't care, because you have a heart, and you love America, and you love the veterans in this town, so many of them suffering from crippling PTSD. We are doing something all week, raising $35,000. It's called John and Tammy's Service Pet for a Vet. Just going to start it off with you. Just go to KSON.com. It'll take you 2 seconds. Click donate. It'll take you to a great place called Paws for Purple Hearts. You guys familiar with this organization here in San Diego?
I've not heard of this, but this sounds like a really cool concept.
Their concept is just helping out those who really need the help.
That's awesome.
And they train these beautiful, unbelievable dogs. Do you know that they can train a dog to sense a nightmare a vet's having before he's having the nightmare?
Yeah. Wow.
What? And one of the many things I learned of this wonderful organization, something else that's the most important part, it costs $35,000 to train one dog and then properly match up this dog with this person that I mean, we talked to a guy named Vic yesterday. Vic's a decorated Army hero, okay, an important part of the community here in San Diego, who couldn't get his mail, okay, wanted to kill himself because he thought it was a burden to his family. Oh. I mean, this was like just a couple of years ago, and he got paired up with his service pet, and he's, you know, I'm sure he's got some issues at times, but he's not on medication anymore. He doesn't want to not be with his family anymore. And this is directly because of this animal. And if you're listening right now, again, I don't care if you listen to our show. Clearly you don't. You're on this wonderful show. But you do know, maybe it's you, but you know somebody that has some kind of issue when it comes to however they served. Whether, and all aspects of the military are so important. But these frontline guys and women, we don't know what they've seen.
100%,
okay,
100%.
These animals do, and they can help them through this. It's really hard for a hero who's been trained, and it's all about the team, and it's all about, you know, we're going to keep our feelings to ourselves. It's really hard for a person like that to ask for help.
No doubt, no doubt. It's the hardest thing for a lot of men to do. It's very, very difficult. We speak about it a lot on this program as well. This idea of having somebody by your side, having something by your side that can help you get through it is massively important.
Well, we all love our pets, right? I mean, I wish anybody reacted the
except
way.
Except for Ben. Yeah, we all, the rest of us okay. love our
hey,
pets.
I feed my pet the farmer's dog.
That is true.
I obviously love my pet.
That's true.
I've heard. But, I mean, we all know how it feels for us who don't suffer from crippling PTSD when we get home. I mean, I wish anybody was as happy as my dog Roger the puppy is when I come home.
Right.
And that fills me with some unbelievable love. You know, that's my boy. Imagine that feeling times a million. And if that's something that you've gone through, then we've got your back. But there are others that won't ask for help. They can't ask for help yet because they don't know how to ask for help, but they are dying inside. And that's not an overstatement. And these dogs can help. If you go to KSON.com, just click on Service Pet for a Vet. Donate $1, donate $35,000. You know, whatever we can get. We're woefully behind right now.
Okay.
If I sound like I'm panicking, I kind of am, even though it's kind of my MO anyway. But we're doing this all week. But it's we need about $34,000 yet, guys.
Tier ones will step up.
It's
only
Tuesday, so yeah, please. You know, if you've got just a couple extra bucks, anything will help, and it seems like an outstanding cause.
Really, really good cause.
I want to point something else out that I just found out recently. You know when you're walking to Petco, and you're like a couple blocks away from the ballpark, and all of a sudden it's Tent City, and there are some people that are really suffering and really could use anything you can do? A lot of those guys are vets. I mean, what? That's their reward for whatever happened to them. That's what they get when they come back. Maybe we can help that just by one service animal starting off this trend. And again, it costs a lot of money to get this animal trained, but it's a really, really great cause. $35,000 to pair one perfectly trained dog with one perfectly matched local hero. KSON.com, John and Tammy's Service Pet for a Vet. Guys, thank you so much.
I got
John,
it up
thank
on
you.
Our YouTube stream right now. I'm showing them the website.
You're the best, man.
There it is.
Yep. I just made a donation.
Oh,
I love how it tells you, $25 will provide a vest for a service dog.
Right.
$50 a month of food for a growing puppy. Like, it tells you exactly how and where your money's going. No, that's awesome.
You know, think about, like, I was just talking to a vet yesterday who was, you know, I don't know if he lives in a particularly rough part of town, but he was walking and he couldn't approach or be approached by people because he thought they were coming at him.
Oh,
or,
man.
And then he got combative and these people were just walking. Maybe, maybe he was in a shady part. I don't know. But here's what I do know. You walk out with a dog. Dog has to go out.
Yeah.
You have no choice. You got to take care of the dog, too.
That's right.
People respond differently when they see people with dogs.
They do.
That's all there is to it. And maybe he was not totally there when he's thinking this guy's coming at me, but you know, doesn't matter because now he thinks, oh, this person likes my dog.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The dog can sense that too, and he's more calm. It's something simple like that. Just getting someone off a couch. Anyone's suffered from any kind of depression ever, when you don't want to get out of bed and go to work, that's a real valid feeling. Imagine that just crushing your soul and
crushing
that's
your
all
whole
you
day.
Know.
Yeah. Every day.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Great
so,
call,
so
Johnny.
Much.
Well done.
Well,
John,
good for you, Tammy.
Baby.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to come in again on Friday.
All right,
okay?
Appreciate it.
Ours
yeah,
is
give
yours.
Us an update.
KSON.com, Service Pet for a Vet. I'm sorry to cut you off, Ben.
That's right. Good. A very good cause.
While you're
appreciate
here, Johnny,
your time.
One of our dedicated listeners, he's in the chat. He says, as a veteran and the father of an active duty sailor, thank you. I have brothers and sisters that their lives depend on this support.
So, love it. That means a lot, man. Thank you, guys.
Very
thanks,
awesome.
Johnny.
And what's, as you often say, it's really, really hard to reach out for anyone to ask for help, I've got to imagine doubly, triply so for a veteran.
No doubt.
Someone who's used to combat situations, even tougher.
Push it all down.
You know, just you're trained not to actually ask for that kind of help because you're the people that other people are asking for help. So it's got to be even more difficult.
No doubt. Yeah. Please give what you can. Certainly always happy to use this platform for something like that. And thank you, man. Thank you, Johnny, for coming in. Yeah, man. It's a really, really worthy cause. Really, really cool cause.
All right. Quickly, just coming up on the show today, we'll obviously go through all the walk-off calls from last night. We've collected them all. The chirping and what the Nationals TV broadcast was saying after Jurickson's walk-off and the interaction between him and the Washington Nationals dugout. Is that something that could spill over to game two of the series today? We'll also, of course, talk about the many moves. Padres made 6 roster moves yesterday and give you an update on the injury to Fernando Tatis Jr. What he said, what Mike Schilt said, was not exactly what Fernando Tatis said, and what kind of doctors say about a stress reaction and the actual amount of time it's going to take for Fernando Tatis Jr. to get healthy again. So we'll talk about all of that. Our regular features in our 7 o'clock hour. I mentioned the special guest, though. Coming up at 7:45 this morning, we'll pause Padres talk for just a second. We are lucky enough to get a few minutes with Bob Kendrick, who's going to join us, the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. He was at the Rickwood Field game. He is as knowledgeable as anyone about the history of Willie Mays and this sport, and we've had him on before. He's absolutely fantastic storyteller. The knowledge that he can pass on. Had a big night in San Francisco last night where they honored Willie Mays as well. Everybody on the Giants wearing number 24 last night. So Bob Kendrick is going to be with us for a few minutes at 7:45. Jesse Agler with the Incorporator at 8:35, as he always is on Tuesday. We can get his thoughts on last night's game. We'll hear his call of the walk-off win coming up next, and then final hour, Rindle Report, and more. So that's the menu. I don't want to waste any more time, though. I want to get to our Padres wrap-up and really dig deep into last night's back-and-forth, come-from-behind, come-from-ahead, 7-6, Padres win over the Washington Nationals. That's next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Padres walk it off over the Washington Nationals. You're about to hear all the highlights, and I did not get to hear the radio highlights last night. In fact, I didn't even get to see the winning walk-off hit by Jurickson Profar.
Oh, Benny.
Which is one of the professional hazards of actually being a sportscaster. You occasionally miss big sports moments because you are working. And last night, we had the Stanley Cup Finals Game 7 on Channel 10, which meant we had a late post-game newscast. Which, because the game, the post game ran so long, we weren't on the air until, you know, like 8:50, and then I wasn't on until the 9 o'clock hour. And I see my hit is coming up, and I'm looking, and I go, oh, I've got about 5 minutes, and it's the bottom of the 10th inning, and the Padres are rallying, and I'm going like, oh, just win it here, just get it over with, or you know, I just want to see the ending. And we're getting, now it's like 3 minutes away, and Jurickson Profar is coming to the plate. And, you know, this at-bat is extending longer and longer. And finally, I realize, okay, I'm on the air in like 45 seconds. I got to sprint to the studio. It's 2-2 count. Bases are loaded. And I don't know what happened. So I leave my office. I go do my sports cast, and I have no idea. When I walk back into my office, I am walking into a surprise. I know one way or the other, they're probably over.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's a loss or a win or how it happened. And as I walk in, I look at my TV and I see a replay. And it's Jurickson looking like, I mean, like he had a bloop or something.
Yeah, it was.
The swing, the like, slow-mo swing. I go, oh, did he?
That's an ass out fly ball.
Did he like bloop one in front of the right fielder or something? And then I saw the real replay and I go, that bounced over the wall? Yeah. How did that happen?
Yeah.
So I was very happy, but it was about 4 or 5 minutes after it actually happened.
I couldn't believe it, man. I could not believe that victory last night. What a game. 4 in the 10th to win that ball game after you were just deflated, demoralized, given up. All of us had given up. Don't say you hadn't, because you had. Many people turned the game off. I don't blame you. I almost did as well. Let's get the wrap-up going, though. I want to hear this in all its majestic
glory.
All right,
we'll get all the highlights, the ups and downs, coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Left-hander delivers. Kim tries to bunt, pushes it towards third. It's a beauty. Corbin picks it up with the bare hand. He's got no play. Cronenworth scores, and the Padres take a 1-0 lead. As he swings here, sends one to the gap in right center field. That's going to get down. Solano rounding third on his way. Kim is right behind him. They're both going to score easily as Higashioka pulls into second with a two-run double. And the Padre lead is now 3-0. Amanessis swings, muscles one over Kim into left field, a base hit. That'll tie the game. Abrams scores easily. An RBI single for Manessis. He has driven in all three Washington runs. And now a 3-3 game here in the seventh. Ruiz swings, muscles it over Rise down the line. That's a fair ball. That's going to give the Nats their first lead of the night. Winker round in third. He'll score easily. Throw goes into second, not in time. An RBI double for K-Bert Ruiz. And Washington leads it 4-3. Senzel swings, hits it in the air to deep left center field. Profar's racing back. He's at the wall looking up. It's going to go. A home run. Two-run home run for Nick Senzel. His first hit of the night. And the Washington lead is now 6-3 here in the 10th. 1-0 pitch. Merrill swings, lines it into center field, and a base hit. Cronenworth has scored. Solano's being waved. He's going to come in and score. A two-run single for Jackson Merrill, and a one-run game in the bottom of the 10th. Profar swings, hits it in the air to deep right center. Thomas is back into the gap. Can't get there. They're going to walk it off again. It's Merrill and Kim score, and the Padres beat the Nationals 7-6.
I've been saying this since the beginning of the season, man. These guys, I go to war with them every day, every night, man. It doesn't matter. Like, you know, the record doesn't say it, but we got ballers in there, man. And, you know, we keep believing in each other.
That's we've heard that a lot lately. We got ballers in there. It seems to be the theme of the San Diego Padres clubhouse. And we opened the show with it talking about, the record is not. It's not ideal. It's not what you want. You've spent a lot of energy to get there. You got a lot of players banged up. But man, the general consensus in that clubhouse is that we are together. We believe, and we are ballers, and we can win baseball games. And they've proven that. They have absolutely proven that they can beat really good teams. Not that the Nationals are a really good team, but they're nipping at your heels for sure. But you've beaten some really good teams this year. And, you know, it's those stumbles against some crap teams that have set this team back. And had they handled business, that, you know me, I don't like to go back and try to jam the toothpaste back in the tube. It never is going to work. I don't like to go back and lament trades that were made and people that got it. There's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. It's just a fool's errand. I can't let myself think about the Angel series and the Rocky series and where we would potentially be. We would have that cushion, Ben, to be able to withstand Fernando Tatis Jr. being out, Manny being hurt, Profar having bad knees, you know, Darvish being out, Musgrove being out. I get it. I absolutely get it. It hurts. It hurts me too. But onward and upward, and the belief in that clubhouse, these guys are finally together, you know, after a couple of years. Now, listen. One thing we do know is that exciting moments breed closeness. You can't help but feel close. You could hate each other, and you keep winning games like that, you're going to grow to at least appreciate and respect each other. We have seen this team fall off the cliff at times, and that's what we have to avoid.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It shouldn't be that way.
It should.
But it sometimes takes a few big moments and walk-offs to build that camaraderie. And unfortunately, last year's team just never got it. They were good enough to, you know, they were probably good enough to get where they wanted to get to. But because nothing good ever happened
ever
for them, to them, and that's their fault as well. You got to come through in those situations. But there's also luck in baseball. And because they didn't get any of those good, lucky moments to build some of those good feelings, it just kept snowballing into worse and worse feeling as the season went on. obviously this year has been very different than when things have had a chance to go well. Many times they have gone well, and it turns just into a different atmosphere in the clubhouse for the team with basically mostly the same players. Yeah, a couple different guys.
Jackson Merrill's been a nice.
He's been definitely a big part of it.
Of positivity and you know, tenacity and all of that. And you're right. They kind of waited around for chemistry to happen last year. This year it feels like they've made sure with some huge moments, Ben, to make sure that this team is together. They keep saying it, like, don't worry, we're effing ballers. Like, that's how we feel. I like that. That's what you want from your baseball team. You want them to believe in each other. But it's exhausting. They're exhausting. They have to be exhausted right now, playing so hard to stay one game over 500.
Joseph in the chat says that positivity straight from Mike Shildt, and of course he is a very positive guy, but I can't help but remembering that the 2022, as we said, was filled with tons of positivity under Bob Melvin.
Yeah.
And then in 2023 under Bob Melvin was not.
Right.
I tend to think it's less the manager and it's more the players and what's happening on the field. And it just can go one way or another. And so far this year, it's gone in mostly a positive direction for the Padres. Now, yesterday's game was very interesting. Remember yesterday's show, we talked about they need to get to Patrick Corbin. This is this thing against lefties, this continued struggles against lefties starting pitching. This is the day it has to end. And then they go out, score three runs in the second inning. I was all ready to tweet out, you know, Luis Arraez, he lets that liner. I go, finally, for the first time, they have scored more than three runs against a left-handed starting pitcher. But line drive found a glove, and it turns out they did not score another run against Patrick Corbin. He became the 23rd straight left-handed starter to hold the Padres to three or fewer runs, as he ended up going all the way through seven innings, and the Padres could do nothing else against him after that second inning. In fact, what was it, 19 straight retired between the end of regulation
straight,
all the way to the bottom of the 10th inning. The Padres' offense went absolutely
ice cold,
silent after that second inning.
That was vibes of last year. Get the yep. early runs, and then the foot go. You put it in cruise control, and you're like, oh, we'll just grind this out, see if we can get a 3-2 win. And last year it didn't happen.
And also vibes of last year. They got a good starting pitching performance, this time again from Matt Waldron, but couple of defensive miscues, not ruled as errors, but the play that Ha-Sung Kim could have made that could have been a double play up the middle turned into a run. Jake's throw.
All right, so tell me, I go in to tuck Bo in. I come back and I see a bang bang play at first. I was too lazy to rewind it. I figured somebody would tell me. I missed the throw. What happened?
I mean, I know Jake.
Did he just spike it?
He didn't even spike it.
Did he lollipop it?
He kind of, well, he bounced it through. It was a three hopper.
To him, in position.
So he had to run to his right.
Okay.
So he was kind of off balance.
So
he was kind of falling away as he threw it, and he got nothing on the throw. I mean, had he just taken half a second, gathered himself, and thrown hard, would have been out probably by a step or two. But instead, he kind of falls away.
Noodle
arms it, and it bounces,
over
and
there.
Then finally gets there just a split second too late, and that ends up costing the Padres a run as well.
Yeah, well, remember early in the season, remember when errors were fatal for this team? They were fatal. We would make an error, next guy, two-run bomb. Fatal. That is a trend that cannot come back. Remember that? Like the first month of the season. Ha-Sung Kim would boot one, next guy, two-run homer. I mean, it was like every other game it would happen. That needs to be cleaned up for sure. And the play, the Ha-Sung Kim play up the middle, look, nobody I know is making that play, but Ha-Sung Kim can make that play. It hit him square in the glove. It hit him right in the palm. He just booted it. And that's a double play ball easy because that ball was hit on a rope. That stuff's got to be cleaned up for sure.
And then remember last year, again, they could not win an extra inning game. And, you know, you just felt like it was heading down that same direction. They get the first two outs in the top of the 10th. Daniel De Los Santos holds that runner at second. And
I felt so good about that.
Okay, this is setting up well. And then double, home run by Senzel. It's down three, and now you're feeling like
the
game's probably over at that point.
Yeah, we're toast.
And then the bottom of the 10th inning happens. And it wasn't just, of course, Jurickson Profar's walk-off. A lot happened
so
to set that up. It had to be David Peralta starting the inning with the double. Even though Jake only went to third, that got the tying run to the plate right away.
Yeah, what happened there? Like, how does Jake not score on that? It didn't really matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
It doesn't matter at all.
He's not the tying run. Right. He just can't be thrown out.
He can't be thrown out
and
at
because
home.
He wanted to make sure it was caught or not.
He's
he just
forward, backward,
100% sure, and make sure you're not thrown out. That's the only thing that really matters on that play. So that no problem with that. Jackson Merrill with another huge at-bat,
massive.
The two-run single that gets the go-ahead run to the plate, gets the tying run on base. Ha-Sung Kim works a walk.
Yeah.
Didn't do much, I mean, but didn't swing at the bad pitches,
yep.
Worked the walk to get on base
some
and move
pitches.
Jackson Merrill over.
Yeah.
Then the decision. Padres walk it off over the Washington Nationals. You're about to hear all the highlights, and I did not get to hear the radio highlights last night. In fact, I didn't even get to see the winning walk-off hit by Jurickson Profar.
Oh, Benny.
Which is one of the professional hazards of actually being a sportscaster. You occasionally miss big sports moments because you are working. And last night, we had the Stanley Cup Finals Game 7 on Channel 10, which meant we had a late post-game newscast. Which, because the game, the post-game ran so long, we weren't on the air until, you know, like 8:50, and then I wasn't on until the 9 o'clock hour, and I see my hit is coming up, and I'm looking, and I go, oh, I've got about 5 minutes, and it's the bottom of the 10th inning, and the Padres are rallying, and I'm going like, oh, just win it here. Just get it over with, or, you know, I just want to see the ending. And we're getting, now it's like 3 minutes away, and Jurickson Profar is coming to the plate. And, you know, this at-bat is extending longer and longer. And finally, I realize, okay, I'm on the air in like 45 seconds. I got to sprint to the studio. It's 2-2 count. Bases are loaded. And I don't know what happened. So I leave my office. I go do my sports cast, and I have no idea. When I walk back into my office, I am walking into a surprise. I know one way or the other, they're probably over.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's a loss or a win or how it happened. And as I walk in, I look at my TV and I see a replay. And it's Jurickson looking like, I mean, like he had a bloop or something.
Yeah, it was.
The swing, the like, slow-mo swing. I go, oh, did he?
That's an ass-out fly
ball. Did he like bloop one in front of the right fielder or something? And then I saw the real replay and I go, that bounced over the wall?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
So I was very happy, but it was about 4 or 5 minutes after it actually happened.
I couldn't believe it, man. I could not believe that victory last night. What a game. 4 in the 10th to win that ball game after you were just deflated, demoralized, given up. All of us had given up. Don't say you hadn't, because you had. Many people turned the game off. I don't blame you. I almost did as well. Let's get the wrap-up going, though. I want to hear this in all its majestic glory.
All right, we'll get all the highlights, the ups and downs, coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Left-hander delivers. Kim tries to bunt, pushes it towards third. It's a beauty. Corbin picks it up with the bare hand. He's got no play. Cronenworth scores, and the Padres take a 1-0 lead. As he swings here, sends one to the gap in right center field. That's going to get down. Solano rounding third on his way. Kim is right behind him. They're both going to score easily as Higashioka pulls into second with a 2-run double, and the Padre lead is now 3-0. And Meneses swings, muscles one over Kim into left field, a base hit. That'll tie the game. Abrams scores easily. An RBI single for Meneses. He has driven in all three Washington runs. And now a 3-3 game here in the seventh. Ruiz swings, muscles it over, rise down the line. That's a fair ball. That's going to give the Nats their first lead of the night. Winker round in third. He'll score easily. Throw goes into second, not in time. An RBI double for K-Bert Ruiz. And Washington leads it 4-3. Senzel swings, hits it in the air to deep left center field. Profar's racing back. He's at the wall looking up. It's going to go. A home run. 2-run home run for Nick Senzel. his first hit of the night. And the Washington lead is now 6-3 here in the 10th. 1-0 pitch. Merrill swings, lines it into center field, and a base hit. Cronenworth has scored. Solano's being waved. He's going to come in and score. A two-run single for Jackson Merrill, and a one-run game in the bottom of the 10th. Profar swings, hits it in the air to deep right center. Thomas is back into the gap. Can't get there. They're going to walk it off again. Let's Merrill go. And Kim score, and the Padres beat the Nationals 7-6.
I've been saying this since the beginning of the season, man. These guys, I go to war with them every day, every night, man. It doesn't matter. Like, you know, the record doesn't say it, but we got ballers in there, man. And, you know, we keep believing in each other.
That's we've heard that a lot lately. We got ballers in there. It seems to be the theme of the San Diego Padres clubhouse. And we opened the show with it talking about, the record is not. It's not ideal. It's not what you want. You've spent a lot of energy to get there. You got a lot of players banged up. But man, the general consensus in that clubhouse is that we are together. We believe, and we are ballers, and we can win baseball games. And they've proven that. They have absolutely proven that they can beat really good teams. Not that the Nationals are a really good team, but they're nipping at your heels for sure. But you've beaten some really good teams this year. And, you know, it's those stumbles against some crap teams that have set this team back. And had they handled business, you know me, I don't like to go back and try to jam the toothpaste back in the tube. It never is going to work. I don't like to go back and lament trades that were made and people that got it. There's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. It's just a fool's errand. I can't let myself think about the Angel series and the Rocky series and where we would potentially be. We would have that cushion, Ben, to be able to withstand Fernando Tatis Jr. being out, Manny being hurt, Profar having bad knees, you know, Darvish being out, Musgrove being out. I get it. I absolutely get it. It hurts. It hurts me too. But onward and upward, and the belief in that clubhouse, these guys are finally together, you know, after a couple of years. Now, listen. One thing we do know is that exciting moments breed closeness. You can't help but feel close. You could hate each other, and you keep winning games like that, you're going to grow to at least appreciate and respect each other. We have seen this team fall off the cliff at times, and that's what we have to avoid.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It shouldn't be that way.
It should.
But it sometimes takes a few big moments and walk-offs to build that camaraderie. And unfortunately, last year's team just never got it. They were good enough to, you know, they were probably good enough to get where they wanted to get to. But because nothing good ever happened
ever
for them, to them, and that's their fault as well. You
right.
got to come through in those situations. But there's also luck in baseball. And because they didn't get any of those good lucky moments to build some of those good feelings, it just kept snowballing into worse and worse feeling as the season went on. Obviously, this year has been very different than when things have had a chance to go well. Many times they have gone well, and it turns just into a different atmosphere in the clubhouse for the team with basically mostly the same players. Yeah, a couple different guys.
Jackson Merrill's been a nice
injection. He's been definitely a big part of it.
Of positivity and you know, tenacity and all of that. And you're right. They kind of waited around for chemistry to happen last year. This year, it feels like they've made sure with some huge, huge moments, Ben, to make sure that this team is together. They keep saying it. Like, don't worry. We're effing ballers. Like, that's how we feel. I like that. That's what you want from your baseball team. You want them to believe in each other. But, it's exhausting. They're exhausting. They have to be exhausted right now, playing so hard to stay one game over 500.
Joseph in the chat says that positivity straight from Mike Schilt. And of course, he is a very positive guy. But I can't help but remembering that the 2022, as we said, was filled with tons of positivity under Bob Melvin.
Yeah.
And then in 2023, under Bob Melvin, was not.
Right.
I tend to think it's less the manager
the
and
players.
It's more the players and what's happening on the field. And it just can go one way or another. And so far this year, it's gone in mostly a positive direction for the Padres. Now, yesterday's game was very interesting. Remember yesterday's show, we talked about they need to get to Patrick Corbin. This is this thing against lefties, this continued struggles against lefties starting pitching. This is the day it has to end. And then they go out, score three runs in the second inning. I was all ready to tweet out, you know, Luis Arraez, he lets that liner. I go, Finally, for the first time, they have scored more than three runs against a left-handed starting pitcher, but line drive found a glove, and it turns out they did not score another run against Patrick Corbin. He became the 23rd straight left-handed starter to hold the Padres to three or fewer runs, as he ended up going all the way through seven innings, and the Padres could do nothing else against him after that second inning. In fact, what was it, 19 straight retired between the end of regulation
straight,
all the way to the bottom of the 10th inning. The Padres' offense went absolutely
ice cold,
silent after that second inning.
That was vibes of last year. Get the yep, early runs, and then the foot go. You put it in cruise control, and you're like, oh, we'll just grind this out, see if we can get a 3-2 win. And it just, last year it didn't happen.
And also vibes of last year, they got a good starting pitching performance, this time again from Matt Waldron, but couple of defensive miscues, not ruled as errors, but the play that Ha-Sung Kim could have made that could have been a double play up the middle turned into a run. Jake's throw.
All right, so tell me, I go in to tuck Bo in. I come back, and I see a bang-bang play at first. I was too lazy to rewind it. I figured somebody would tell me. I missed the throw. What happened?
I mean, I know Jake.
Did he just spike it?
He didn't even spike it.
Did he lollipop it?
He kind of, well, he bounced it through. It was a three-hopper.
In position.
So he had to run to his right.
Okay.
So he was kind of off balance.
So
he falling. He was kind of falling away as he threw it, and he got nothing on the throw. I mean, had he just taken half a second, gathered himself, and thrown hard, would have been out probably by a step or two. But instead, he kind of falls away.
Noodle
arms it, and it bounces.
I saw the six-hopper over there.
Finally gets there just a split second too late, and that ends up costing the Padres a run as well.
Yeah, well, remember early in the season, remember when errors were fatal for this team? They were fatal. We would make an error, next guy, two-run bomb. Fatal, fatal, fatal. That is a trend that cannot come back. That was, remember that? Like the first month of the season. Ha-Sung Kim would boot one, next guy, two-run homer. I mean, it was like every other game it would happen. That needs to be cleaned up for sure. And the play, the Ha-Sung Kim play up the middle, look, nobody I know is making that play, but Ha-Sung Kim can make that play. It hit him square in the glove. It hit him right in the palm. He just booted it. And that's a double play ball easy because that ball was hit on a rope. Yeah, man, that stuff's got to be cleaned up for sure.
And then remember last year, again, they could not win an extra inning game. And, you know, you just felt like it was heading down that same direction. They get the first two outs in the top of the 10th. Daniel De Los Santos holds that runner at second.
And I felt so good about that.
Okay, this is setting up well. And then double, home run by Senzel. It's down three, and now you're feeling like
the
game's probably over at that point.
Yeah, we're toast.
And then the bottom of the 10th inning happens. And it wasn't just, of course, Jurickson Profar's walk-off. A lot happened
that
up. It had to be David Peralta starting the inning with the double. Even though Jake only went to third, that got the tying run to the plate right away.
And what happened there? Like, how does Jake not score on that?
It doesn't really matter at all.
It doesn't matter at all.
He's not the tying run.
Right.
He just can't be thrown out.
You can't be thrown out
at home. Because he wanted to make sure it was caught or not,
he just went forward, backward,
100% sure, and make sure you're not thrown out. That's the only thing that really matters on that play. So that, no problem with that. Jackson Merrill with another huge at-bat,
massive,
the two-run single that gets the go-ahead run to the plate, gets the tying run on base. Ha-Sung Kim works a walk.
Yeah.
Didn't do much, but didn't swing at the bad pitches,
yep,
worked the walk to get on base and move Jackson Merrill over.
Yep.
Then the decision to pinch hit Tyler Wade and lay down the very short sacrifice bunt.
One inch.
Ended up working out. Got the runners over to second and third. It was Solano had the double, then Peralta popped out.
So that was unfortunate. So I did see people upset that they didn't let Kyle Higashioka hit. And I know Higgy's been hot. I think going to Peralta for a sac fly there is probably the right move. It didn't work out. I was pretty bummed about that. That ties the game up. He didn't come through, and it happened. So that was kind of a bummer. What did you think of the bullpen management? I saw people upset again with Enyel being there, but I kind of liked the image. Morejon ended up giving up a run, which has been, you know, uncharacteristic of him. Estrada was fine. Suarez was Suarez. And I thought it was fine. You're going to run out of, like, they're trying to win that game. You know, they're trying to win that game in those last couple of innings, and it just didn't get there.
I mean, it's who did they want to come in?
Right. Right, in that spot,
you know, it's Yuki, or it's Wandy,
or it's Enyel. or Kolek.
Yeah, I mean, you know, those are the guys, and they all have sometimes come through and sometimes not come through. It's Russian roulette once you get past the first couple of guys in the bullpen. So
Mike wants to know what I thought about the bunt for a run by Kim. I'm absolutely fine with it. You know why, Mike? Because you didn't give up an out. You didn't give up an out there. So I, again, you guys know it's a hill that I like am going to be punished on forever, and I'm fine to wear it. What's bugged me about this team at times this year is like, well, and you know, the hero of the night last night, Jerkson Profar in the 3-hole trying to sacrifice bunt in the second inning or the first inning makes me nuts. I'll be completely honest with you. That kind of stuff makes me nuts. Giving up an out. But in that case last night, Ha-Seong Kim looking up going, okay, yeah,
Kim,
I can get Kim, this
I was in. Fine with. I actually didn't love the decision to bunt with Tyler Wade there just because because it's so obvious what he's going to do.
I almost
you're giving the defense a pretty good advantage because you're sending up a guy when anyone with a Twitter handle can go, well, here comes the bunt.
I almost tweeted, Ben, why are you even taking warm-up swings in the on-deck circle? Just literally practice.
Gotta throw them off.
Everyone knows you're not swinging the bat here.
And that's not great. Now, he got it down. Good credit.
Oh my
enough.
God, it was a one-inch bunt.
When the defense can, with 99.9% of surety, know what's coming, that's good for the defense.
It's good for the defense.
It makes it harder to get your job done.
Well, and when Peralta didn't hit the sack fly, I was like, great. Now you've given up an out.
All right, that's set up, of course, Jurickson Profar. And when we come back, before we play Take on Woods, we'll hear some of the other calls of the walk-off. You heard Jesse's. We got Don. We got Spanish. We got what the Nationals TV broadcast said. And, of course, we have
Korean. Our Korean brothers.
All coming up next with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.